This is a new series that we're starting for the summer called This Is My Story. It's a summer series. If you've been here long enough, you know we do a series in the summer. We try to take a couple months out of the summer and do a whole series. And this summer, the series is kicking off today with This Is My Story. And over the next several weeks, you'll hear testimonies of the saving power of Jesus. That's what you're about to hear. Every story will be different and unique. And our prayer throughout this series is that these stories, these testimonies, touch your heart in many different ways, and that you see that no matter where you are on your journey or no matter where you have been, that somebody here, one of us, understands and we realize and we know what you're going through or what you have gone through. We also want to give people hope. We want you to see that even though you may have made a complete mess of your life, that you can still experience redemption and justification through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he can turn everything around and he can make a beautiful story out of your life. You may have messed up your story, but God can turn it all around for you, amen? And he can make a beautiful thing. He gives you beauty for ashes. And so I want to give you a couple scriptures, and I don't have any notes on the screen this morning. I don't have anything like that. And other people that share their testimonies might have that. But I'm going to give you Matthew 10:32, and that's kind of our basis for this whole series. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." This is the reason for us sharing our testimonies over the next several weeks, over the next couple of months, is that we want to acknowledge Jesus and the work that he has done in our lives publicly. And then Psalm 71, verses 15 through 18 says this. It says, "I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power. Though I am not skilled with words," boy, I feel that way a lot of times, "though I am not skilled with words, I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just. O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me." So I want to declare the word of the Lord today, declare the goodness of God today through what I'm about to share with you. And then the last scripture I'm going to share with you is Revelation 12:11. And it says this, it says, "And they defeated him by the blood of their lamb and by the word of their," say it, "testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." Today, I'm telling you this story not to bring attention to myself or to bring attention to the evil deeds that I once did before I became a follower of the way. I'm telling you this story to give all glory and honor to the one true living God, to Jesus, the Messiah, my Savior. So I'm going to do my best not to bawl and cry through this, but I don't tell my testimony very often. I've only shared it a handful of times over the last couple of decades. I tell people of the goodness of God, but I've never really spent a lot of time telling them of my story. I'm going to turn this fan away. It feels good, but it's blowing in my microphone right now, So this is my story. First of all, I need you to know that I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in church. Whenever the church was open, we were there. Even many times when the church wasn't open, we were there. My parents were not raised in a Christian home. My mom gave her heart to the Lord at the age of 12 at her aunt's church, but she didn't have Christian parents who nurtured her and raised her in the faith. So on her honeymoon, she and my dad went to a little Baptist church on their honeymoon, And for the very first time, my dad gave his heart to the Lord while they were on their honeymoon, and my mom rededicated her heart to the Lord. And so they began a Christian walk, a Christian marriage. They began to raise their children as they had children in the faith. They raised us in church. They did the best they could to raise us, even though they did not have that foundation. They did not have that teaching and that nurturing growing up. They did the best they could to raise us to honor and serve the Lord. And I remember the first powerful experience I had with the Lord was before I was 10 years old. We were attending the Marysville Assembly of God. Some of you know that church in Marysville. Some of you have attended that church. But I went there for many years as a child. And we were at the Marysville Assembly of God, and it was before I was 10 years old. But it wasn't during a church service that I experienced this powerful moment with the Lord. My parents actually cleaned the church at that time. And so they took all of us kids to help them clean the church. And we would go there to help, but we were very little help for them while they were cleaning the church. So while my mom and dad were scrubbing toilets and vacuuming the floors, my siblings and I went into the auditorium there at Marysville Assembly of God, and we had church service. And I remember very clearly that I was standing on that platform at that church, and one of my brothers, Tim, was over on the drums, and my other brother, Matt, who you know, he's on staff here at our church, was singing and leading worship. And Matt led worship, and Tim was beating on the drums, and we had no other instruments but the drums. And so I'm sure it sounded great to the Lord, but not to anyone else. And I had to be about 9 years old. And then when Matt was finished leading worship, I stepped up to the microphone and I started to preach the word of the Lord. And so I'm preaching to an empty auditorium. And as I'm preaching the word of the Lord to the empty auditorium, and I'm sure it was silliness in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, it must have been beautiful. Because during that moment of preaching the word of the Lord to an empty auditorium at 9 years old, God gave me a vision. And I didn't know what it was at the time. I had no words to describe it. I just knew that I saw things. I saw something open up before me. And as I'm preaching, all of a sudden I saw a different auditorium, and I saw thousands of people worshiping the Lord and giving glory and honor to God, and their hands were raised as I'm in this empty auditorium. And I saw just the glory of God fill that place and the presence of God come and fall on people. And people started falling on their face before the Lord and giving their hearts to Jesus. That was the first experience, the real experience I had with the Lord. 9 years old in that empty auditorium. And I want to point something out before I move on in this story. That you need to understand, first of all, parents, that all God asks you to do is to give him an opportunity. All he's asking you to do with your kids is to get your children in the presence of God. Get them in an atmosphere of his presence. Just get them there. If you will just do that and offer them the opportunity, God will move and he will do something. While my parents were scrubbing toilets, I was experiencing the glory of God. You might think, well, you know, I love what the Lord says in his word. He says, when he's talking about the body of Christ, he says, you think that the parts that are less honorable, the parts that are hidden are the parts that are less honorable, but they're not. They're the more honorable parts because they're clothed, they're covered up. Some of you think that the job that you do in the kingdom of God, that the work that he's called you to right now is less honorable, but what you don't understand is God can move more in those moments in your life and in those positions in your life than you ever realized. My parents were scrubbing toilets and their children were experiencing the presence of God. They could have left us at home. They could have scolded us for having church while they were scrubbing toilets, but they didn't. And around that same age, something else happened in my life. I was molested by an uncle. Shortly after that experience with God, I had a tragic experience where I was molested. And I want you to know that Satan is not just going to sit back and allow the plan of God to unfold in your life or in your children's lives. He's not just going to sit back and go, oh, that's nice, they had that experience with God, I'm just going to see how this plays out. No, he has a plan for your life as well. God has a plan, but the enemy has a plan as well. Jesus said it this way, that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. God has a plan for your life, but the enemy's going to try to derail that plan that God has for your life. So shortly after that experience, I had this terrible experience of being molested. And when that happened, through that act of perversion, the enemy pounded that 9-year-old boy. He pounded me with lies. And I just feel like I need to spend a moment on this part of the story to let you understand what takes place in secrecy. See, the enemy works in darkness. Satan works in secrecy. He does not want anything to be brought to the light. He does not want anything to be brought out in the open. He'll work in darkness and secrecy because that's where he does his work best. If when that happened in my life, the enemy started telling me lies and speaking lies to me and pounding me with these lies. He would speak to me and say, you can't tell anybody about this. You can't let your parents know about this because they'll think you're broken. You can't tell your parents about this because they won't want you anymore. You're useless. You're a throwaway. And the moment you tell somebody this happened to you, they won't want you anymore. And the enemy lies like that because he wants to keep us silent. I now, years later, when God dealt with this in my life and I got healing from this, years later, God showed me that had I opened up to my parents and told them what had happened and told them what took place, that they would have rushed in with the presence of God. They would have, by the power of Holy Spirit, they would have started speaking truth into my life, and there would have been healing that would have come to me, and the enemy would not have been able to use that opportunity to build a stronghold of lies in my life. So I would say to you parents, talk to your kids and speak to them and let them know that they can tell you anything, and let them know first and foremost that they're valuable and that you love them, and no matter what they tell you, you will never want to get rid of them, that you'll always love them dearly. You got to say those words to them over and over and over again, and let them know that Jesus loves them too, and that the enemy works in darkness. Tell them the truth about how the enemy works. Don't just let it sit there. Don't just assume that they know. Don't just assume that nothing's happened in their life. You need to tell them the truth. Tell them that he's ruthless. The enemy is ruthless. And that he came to destroy them. They're never too young to hear this. If you don't think that they're hearing, you know, perversion and garbage at their young age, then you're mistaken. You don't understand what's happening in this world. I was 9 years old. It was shortly after that, it was the first time that I saw pornography from a friend down the street. See, the enemy has a plan, and he wants to destroy you, and he starts at a young age to do that in your life. But God has a plan as well. God wants to save you. God wants to use you for his glory and for his kingdom. Over the next several years, after that happened in my life, over the next several years, symptoms started to show up. I started experimenting with several different things. Alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality started to show up in my life. Everything seemed to promise pleasure and fulfillment. Everything seemed to promise acceptance and relief from the pain that I was experiencing. Everything seemed to promise that I would get relief from the torment that was happening in my life and the lies that the enemy was speaking to me. Everything promised that it would relieve that from me, but it never came. All of those things that took place in my life, the drugs, the alcohol, the sexual immorality, the pornography, the lust, the stealing, and all the things that took place, those were only symptoms of a root that had taken place when I was 9 years old. So I want to stop here and say something to you as parents or as people dealing with someone who is stuck in addictions. Quit trying to treat the symptoms. Many, many times I would have people tell me, what if you just stopped drinking, if you just did this, and if you just did that, you'd be all right. If you just go to AA, and if you just did that. And I'm not knocking programs that can help in some ways, but I'm telling you, there is only one answer to those addictions. There's only one answer to those strongholds. There's only one answer, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one who can break the chains of bondage. He's the only one who can tear down every stronghold in your life. Quit treating the symptoms and get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem was that when I was 9 years old, the enemy did something to me and he started lying to me and he built strongholds based on those lies. If I would have just gone back to the 9-year-old boy, if I would have just allowed Holy Spirit to come in to that place in my life and break every chain and sever every lie and break every root that had been in my life, then I would have been set free. But instead, I just kept going down this path of destruction. I just kept going down this path. And so before I knew it, I was a full-blown alcoholic, full-blown drug addict, a full-blown sex addict. I was a thief. I was a liar. I was everything you could imagine that the enemy wanted to do in my life. I was bent on destruction. And I didn't care who I hurt. I don't have time to go into details, nor do you need to know all the details of the things that I did. But I did the most vile, perverted things you can ever imagine. I did them to myself. I did them to people. I didn't care about anyone. I didn't love anyone. I hurt everyone who was close to me and dear to me. And it happened. It seemed like in an instant. It seemed like one day I was going to church, and the next day I was full-blown in the world. But I got to tell you, it didn't happen in an instant. It took years for the enemy to build on the destruction he brought into my life. And it grew to that point. So at this point in my life, I am full-blown addict in every way. I spent a few years, listen to me, I spent a few years without experiencing one sober day, not one sober day in 3 years. Every single day I was high, I was drunk. Every single day I was seeking destruction. I can't tell you the number of times that I had a gun to my head. I can't tell you the number of times that I had a gun to someone else's head. I don't know why, but I feel like I need to tell you this story. I just said, Lord, you'd lead me however you want. One moment in my life, at this point, we were living in Florida, and one moment in my life, I was so far gone that I got in a fight with my brother, Tim. And we were in a fist fight to the point we were covered in blood, both of us. And I was so out of my mind. And the enemy had come in with so much hate and so much destruction that I went into my parents' room and I got my dad's rifle and I loaded it. And I backed my brother in the room with the gun and put the gun to his head and had my finger on the trigger, ready to blow his head off. And for whatever reason, I believe it was the Lord, I stopped and I set the gun down. And moments later, I'm on the other side of the house and my brother has the gun to my head with his finger on the trigger, ready to blow my head off. This is how close that we came that I came to complete destruction. I was a mess. And it was during this time in my life that one night I stumbled into the house at 3 a.m. And I heard my mother, I overheard my mother in her bedroom on her knees praying. And she said this, she said, Father, if you have to take my life to save my son, I freely give it. And what did I do when I heard her say that? I laughed. I scoffed. I said, that's so stupid. And I went into my room and shut the door and went to bed. Several weeks later, my mom had to go for surgery. And it was a basic kind of routine surgery that she was going in for. And she went in for the surgery, and my dad said, I want you to be there, son, for the surgery. And I said, okay, I'll be there. And the day of the surgery came, and when I got out of work that day, instead of going to the hospital to her surgery, I went to the bar, and I got drunk. And after I left the bar, I went and got high. And after I left there, I finally made my way to the hospital, and I walked into the waiting room to the hospital, and my dad's sitting in the chair in the corner crying. And I'm walking, I'm wasted, and I said, what's wrong? And he said, your mother is bleeding to death, and they can't stop the bleeding. And they don't know what to do. And we were in Tampa Bay at the time, and they rushed in doctors from another hospital to try to stop the bleeding. Apparently her platelet count wasn't high enough, and they couldn't get platelets into her, and they couldn't get it to stop. So several hours she was on the verge of death. And the whole time that was happening, even while I was high and I was drunk, I was sitting in the corner of that waiting room crying out to God and saying, I'm sorry, don't take my mother. Don't take my mother. I'll give you my life. I'll serve you. I'll give you everything. And I believe God heard me that day, because just a short while after I prayed that prayer, the doctors came in and said, we got the bleeding to stop. We think she's going to make it. We waited through the night, and the next morning they said, she's stable. She's going to make it. And they got everything stabilized, and shortly after that, I don't remember how long, a day or two, she came home from the hospital. The very day she came home from the hospital, I went out and got drunk again and got high again. For the next 2-3 weeks, I just continued in that lifestyle. I didn't know what it meant to give your heart to God. I didn't know what it meant to serve Him. I didn't know what it meant to live for Him. And for a few weeks, I lived back in the same lifestyle I was living in. I didn't know any other way. I didn't know how to break addictions. And several weeks after that, a few weeks after that, I'm in my room sleeping. It was probably 3 or 4 in the morning. My dad comes into the room. He knocks on the door, and he comes into the room and he says, son, you gotta get up. I need your help. Something's wrong with your mother. And as I woke up out of the sleep that I was in, I could hear her across the house. I have never heard my mother scream in pain at this point in my life, never. She's very tolerant to pain. She has a high pain tolerance. She never says anything. She never complains about pain, anything like that. And at that moment, I heard this blood-curdling scream across the house, and I realize it's my mother, and I go into her room with my dad, and she's curled over on the bed, doubled over, screaming in pain, holding her stomach. Dad said, son, you got to help me. I got to get her to the hospital. Well, I had been, for those 3 weeks, just as wasted as ever. I was still high, I was still drunk, but I got in the car and I got in the driver's seat. My dad picked her up and put her in the back seat with himself, sitting next to her and holding her. And we're driving down the road to the hospital. And I know, and at that time you have to understand my mindset and what I'm thinking, and I know how God works now, but at that time I'm like, oh God, you're punishing me. I told you I'd give me my life, and I didn't give you my life. I'm back in the same sin I've been living in, and you're going to take my mom from me. And I'm just thinking all these things, and at the moment I started to think that, all of a sudden I felt this presence come into the car, a presence I hadn't experienced since I was 9 years old. And it was the power of Holy Spirit. And I know it was, because in that moment, my mom starts speaking in tongues in the back seat of that car. And she's speaking in tongues, and as she's speaking in tongues, I feel Holy Spirit like I haven't experienced Him since I was 9. And I felt His presence, and I don't remember anything from that moment till we got to the emergency room. But we got to the emergency room, and They wheel her in on a gurney and they put her in their room there. My dad and I go into the emergency room with her, the room she was in. And my dad's standing by her, and there's a trash can over in the corner of the room that's flipped over upside down. And I went over and sat on that trash can. I said, God, I don't know how to pray, but I just know that I need to serve you. I want to serve you. Help me get out of this life that I'm in. Save my mom, heal her, work in her life right now, and do something to heal her body. And as I'm praying that simple prayer, sitting on that trash can, I hear Holy Spirit for the first time since I was 9 years old speak to me and say, son, get up. Walk over to your mother and place your hand on her. So I got up off the trash can and I walked over to where she was on the gurney, and I placed my hand on mom, on her stomach, and I didn't have to say a word. I just placed my hand there, and the moment I did, I felt this tingling, burning sensation that started in my shoulder and worked down my arm and into my hand and out of my hand. And the moment that happened, she's doubled over in pain. And the moment that happened, she just laid flat on the gurney. And she opened her eyes and she looked at me and she said, the pain's gone. She sat up and said, let's go. We can go home now. For a moment, I thought, mom, you were faking it. But I experienced too much of Jesus in that moment to think anything like that. It was the power of God. And at that moment, I thought, God, how could you use me to do something like that, being the sinner that I am, being the wretch that I am, being the person that I've been all these years? How could you use me to do something like that? And in that moment, he spoke to me and said, son, that's not how I see you. I don't see you in your sin. I see you as the creation I made you to be. I see you as my son. And just like that, I felt the presence of God in my life. We left that hospital. We went home that night. A couple of days later, I hadn't had a drink. I hadn't had anything to snort, to shoot up. I had nothing to smoke. I had nothing. I had been sober for at least 4 or 5 days for the first time in several years. And I'm sitting there talking to mom, and we hadn't said a word about what had happened. And mom says to me, son, when you put your hand on me, did you feel anything? And I said, I don't know. Did you? It's like, I'm not going to say what I felt. I had very little faith at this moment. And she said, yeah, as soon as you placed your hand there, all of a sudden I felt this burning, tingling sensation in my stomach, and all the pain went away that I was experiencing just like that. And I said, mom, I felt it start right here and went down my arm and out of my hand. And she looked at me, she said, son, that's the presence of God. He used you, and he's going to use you. You're going to proclaim his glory. You're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. And I believed it. At that moment, I remember what I experienced at 9 years old, not the molestation, but that was completely gone. I didn't remember that, but I remembered the presence of God at 9 years old at the Marysville Assembly of God when he showed me that vision of thousands of people giving glory to God. And I knew in that moment that I had to follow him and serve him, to give him everything I have. I got to tell you that as I surrendered to Jesus during that period of my life, the temptations didn't just vanish. I've got to say this to somebody, because some of you are sitting out there in addictions. You're struggling with things and you've prayed about it and you expect the temptations just to go away. They don't just go away. Maybe for some people, I've heard people say that I never had a drink from that moment on. I never smoked a thing. I never shot up. I never did anything from that moment on. Well, that's wonderful for you and I'm thankful for your testimony, but that's not how it worked in my life. And over the years, I've talked to and counseled thousands of people, and most people, it doesn't work that way in their life. Most people, when you give your heart to the Lord like I did that day, on that turned over trash can in that emergency room, that day, from that day to this day, I've been fighting temptations every step of the way. But it's not a sad thing. You don't have to feel bad for me, because I've realized there's a power in me that's greater than any power that the enemy can come at me with. There's a power living inside of me. You know, I've said this for years. You've heard me say it. If the devil were an ant, God is greater than the universe. The devil cannot hold a candle to King Jesus. He is so much greater. His power is so much greater. You just need to understand that. You're battling with depression. You're battling with anxiety. You're battling with fear. You're battling with addictions. You're battling with confusion. The enemy cannot stand if you just stand in the Word of God, if you stand in the power of Jesus, if you open up your mouth like Carolyn said this morning and speak the Word of God. The enemy must flee. He will run away from you in fear. So I had to learn how to walk in this. I had to learn how to dig into this word for myself. I got to say something to you this morning. Quit reading all these books about what other people say about this word. Why don't you just read the word? Well, Bill, there's some good men and women of God out there that teach some good things. There are some good men and women of God out there that teach some good things. But before you do anything else, why don't you dig into this word for yourself? Quit reading about someone else's experience with the one true living God, and why don't you live it yourself? Find out about it yourself. Read the words for yourself. I'm telling you that when you open up this word, Holy Spirit will bring fresh revelation from that scripture into your heart. You quit reading about what somebody else got from that scripture and find out for yourself what God is saying to you from that scripture. I didn't have anybody in my life at that time. I didn't have anyone to train me. As I told you, my parents, they didn't have anybody to do that in their lives. They'd had no idea how to deal with addictions, strongholds. I didn't know anything about strongholds or bondages or anything like that. They didn't know about those things. They had no idea what to do. My dad went to heaven 2 years ago. My mom's sitting over here. Mom, wave your hand at everybody. That's my mama right there. She didn't know how to teach me about that, but one thing she did, she prayed for me. I'm telling you right now, had it not been for my mama at 3 a.m. praying, "Father, save my son," if it had not been for her getting up in the middle of the night when I was out who knows where doing who knows what, praying for me, I wouldn't be here today. Every single soul that has been saved because I gave my heart to the Lord and decided to follow his call, she has a part in that. So Jesus taught me, Holy Spirit taught me how to read his word. Holy Spirit taught me how to speak it out loud. Holy Spirit taught me how to have that fire and that fervency inside. Holy Spirit taught me how to have that drive and determination. I've had people tell me before that they thought I was arrogant and I was cocky. I'm not, and then they found out later, they said to me later after they became my friend, they said, "I realize you're not arrogant and cocky, you're just confident." I'm confident because I have a power living inside of me that many people don't understand, that many people don't get to the depths to. I have something inside of me. His name is Jesus. It's the power of Holy Spirit working in me that comes to life in me. I have this confidence inside of me because I know where I came from. I know what God delivered me from. I know how he set me free. I know how he broke every chain, how he tore down every stronghold. I will never stop proclaiming the goodness of God. But I got to tell you, I don't just proclaim the goodness of God by the words that I say. I proclaim the goodness of God by the things that I do and by the way that I act. I told you I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit, so I got to say some things today. Church, I want us to be different. I want us to be different from most churches you see out there. I want us to be different from most people that you see out there claiming to be Christians. Quit telling people all about Christianity and start showing them what it is to be a Christian. Why don't you just love people like Jesus loves people? Because he did it for me. I know he did it for you. I know he poured himself out for you. I know as I'm sharing this story with you, your testimony is coming to life again inside of you. I know you've been hurt, but Jesus can help you overcome the hurt and overcome the pain and overcome the heartache. He can help you overcome the addictions. He'll help you overcome all of those things, but you got to get up and you got to start moving. You got to start sharing your story by the way you live toward people. Love people. Treat them with kindness. Pray for them. Don't just talk about him. Live him out in your life. Second Timothy 1, 5 through 11 says this. It says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I'm in prison for him, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because because that was his plan from the beginning of time. To show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. I want you to know there's so much more to this story from the moment I got up off of that trash can in that emergency room. There's so much more of what God did in my life. I don't have time to share it with you today. But at some point down the line, several years later, I heard the call that God really placed in my life at 9 years old on that platform in that church in Marysville. And I answered that call. And it took me down a journey, and I didn't realize where it was going to go and how it was going to twist and turn. But all of that led me to this place, led Kim and I to this place 10 years ago. And you need to know this, today, all of my siblings are followers of Jesus Christ. My brother Matt, as I said, is a licensed minister, and he's on staff here at the River. Of course, you know that Kim and I are both ordained ministers, and you're pastors here. But more than that, all of my children, including my two sons-in-law, are all pastors and on staff here at this church, the River. Isn't that awesome? I debated whether I was going to say this or not, but I'm going to say it. Kim and I, over the years, and I don't want you to feel bad for us. I'm not saying this so you feel bad. I want you to hear the point of what God wants to speak to us here. Over the past 8 years that we've been the pastors here, Kim and I have taken a little bit of flack from some people that all of our kids are on staff here. I'm unapologetic about it. I do not apologize. I am not sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way if you criticized us for that. But now that you know my story, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that my kids are all serving the Lord and wanted to give their lives to him in ministry. They could have been doing anything else. But they chose to give their lives to Jesus and to give their lives to the kingdom of God. And so I'm thankful that they're here with me. They're here with us. And they serve with us. What a legacy. Look what God did for somebody who was so broken like I was and turned it all around. Turned it all around. And now we have three grandsons, Josiah, Judah, and Asher. You can't get more biblical names than that. We got a king and two tribes. And I just want to end this story by just praying for a moment. Would you just close your eyes with me? And I want to ask you a personal question. Are you struggling today? Has anything I said touched your heart? Are you dealing with those temptations? Are you struggling with any addictions? Maybe there's just doubt in your life. Maybe God called you and you've been running from that call. Maybe you've been hurt and wounded and you just don't know how to receive healing for those hurts and for those wounds, and you just want to get free from that today. If that's you, I just want you to stand and I want to pray with you. What God did with my story, He can do with you as well in your story. He can turn it all around. He wants to turn it all around. He wants to heal you. He wants to help you overcome. He desires it more than you desire it. So this is what I want you to do. I just want you to place your hand on yourself, maybe put it on your heart somewhere. I'm looking around and many of you stood before. That's okay. Well, why don't we just settle this today? Come on, if you need to stand, stand. I just feel like I need to wait another minute. There's more in this place. You need to stand. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Don't be ashamed. I just told you all the horrible things I went through in my life. Come on, you can stand. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Come on. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how long you've come to church. Doesn't matter what people think about you. Come on, get free. Come on, they're still standing, so I'm going to keep going. Stand. Yes, Jesus. Yeah. And this is what you're going to say. It's going to be real simple. You're going to say, Jesus, say it. Jesus, I trust you. I know you're greater than any temptation or addiction or stronghold or hurt or pain that I've experienced. And I've put all my trust in you, Jesus. Let's settle it right now, today, Jesus. I'm coming hard after you. I'm finished. Say it. I'm finished with that old life, with that old hurt, that old way. And I trust you. So lead me. Lead me, Jesus. Lead me, and I will follow you. Write the rest of my story, Jesus. Say that. Write the rest of my story, Jesus. And show me the way. Amen.